Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Wells, 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 let me tell you about us at Hardcore Listing. We like to go on Instagram in a flash and tag any developments that happen. Recording these podcasts is easy as ABC, Buster. We all haunt the live shows, especially at the Hoxton Bar and Grill. Stu and Chris love beer, sometimes too much, and get mood swings, while myself and Brad creatively bang and boom with our music and videos. Anyone who disagrees that this is the best podcast ever, we'll throw Boehm off a cliff so they land in a rosenbush. No doubt we'll be doing this at Christmas, and we'll record a Noel Noel special to send chivers down your spine. Okay, put 88 as a good year, but 76 was the best year, as was anyone who was born in 81. That's 14 of our listeners. Work that out later. But for now, go enjoy part one of our live show with excellent guests, Gail Porter, Alex Fox and Matt Stocks. Peace.
It's a drunken soiree in the Within.
Chris and Stu present Hardcore Listing, the podcast. There's some big shit about to go down.
I don't know, mate, can you be bothered?
I think we should just fuck off.
I think it's the last day for those grand Big Macs. Should we just go and grab one of them instead?
Let's go and have a chat. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage the incredible Stuart Whiffin and the not so incredible Chris Glasson.
Back again. Hello, thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Who's been before? Wow. Oh, so we got some new people.
When we done that last time, there was a lot more noise.
They're ashamed to be here. They're like, oh, why are we fucking doing this to ourselves?
Absolutely. Oh, thank you very, very much for coming. It's really, really kind of you. It's been a year, and it's surreal, isn't it?
Congratulations.
Yeah.
We're still friends? Are we friends?
I think so. I was saying to you, a moment ago, we've not actually had a row, have we?
Well, you said that. You don't think we've had a row. I was going to say it in there, and then I thought, no, I'll save this right here. You know when you lost your absolute shit at me for turning left or something?
Yeah.
And I had to edit out like 5 minutes of Stu having a meltdown.
It was fucking ridiculous because you live like 10 minutes from Lakeside. I live like 2 minutes from Lakeside. Mm. And he'd picked me out from work and we had to come up here to record with. I can't remember who it was we was recording with at the time. But
doesn't matter, does it? It's all about us.
And the thing was, it was like, we just got to go to London. And he was in Lakeside.
Yeah.
And he was just like a fucking pensioner. And I drive like a pensioner. But he was going, well, where am I going, mate?
I thought I'd never go to Lakeside that way. And we were trying to record a podcast, so yeah. I was kind of getting confused. And then you screaming at me.
Yeah.
I had a little bit of a cry. I had a moment, I think, then.
You did kick me that time as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That wasn't you. You didn't talk to me all the way home for that.
No.
So, all right. That's one all.
Yeah, that's probably the worst we had.
Yeah, yeah.
We come out of... We are lizards, didn't we? And we got in Pip's brother's car. And as we was walking down to the car, you had had far too much to drink. And I told you to stop hanging around the girls' toilets. And you literally just come out and just fucking kicked me.
In my head, there was a really funny backstory to that Muay Thai kick, but when I looked at you, I realised that no one else was listening to that conversation in my head, and I just assaulted you.
Yeah.
And yeah, I felt pretty bad. And I was taking a piss out of other things when I... So you didn't talk to me all the way home.
No.
Apart from that, we're cool, right?
I think so.
We're cool?
I think so, yeah. I mean, this will be the last ever podcast we do, by the way. We never thought we'd make a year. Do you know what? It's really kind that you guys listen to... Who was that?
That's his job.
What he does in every fucking podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been, we've had such a crack, haven't we, this year? Mm. And it was like, and it was so unexpected because, as we've said countless times before, we're just Pip's dickhead mates. It was just like, let's just have a bit of fun. And it was Pip predominantly, wasn't it? Going, just do your own one. It was like, no one is going to be interested in me and you sitting in my shed talking rubbish.
Yeah.
And yeah, because of you, we've had like over 500,000 downloads. And so, yeah, it's fucking bananas. And thank you so, so much. Really, really, really kind of you.
I will say, one of my friends has gone and bought two lots of tickets for tonight. So she bought one set and thought, oh, you couldn't find them or something, Rachel. So you bought them again. So thank you. So that's very kind of you. Or she had absolutely no faith in us selling any tickets. She's like, I bought some tickets, then I bought some more, just in case.
You haven't refunded it for the other ones, have you?
Get out of it, mate. Sweet. No.
Okay, so before we get... how are we going to do? We're going to do a little bit different to the previous ones, like where we get one guest up at a time. So in this one, how it's going to pan out the next couple of hours is for the first hour, we're going to get three guests up at once, and then the whole premise of today's podcast is going to be top five things your mates have done. So it's pretty much dickhead things your mates have done. And so we think we're going to get some fun out here. So
yeah, the guests have got definitely going to have some stories about their mates. And it's for once, it's not about Craig, is it?
No.
Bit of a change.
Yeah.
All the dumb shit you lot have done.
But before that, I think, you know, we're going to have a little chat about this year so far and some of the guests and stuff we've had. And predominantly it's the live shows that have been the big highlight, really, hasn't it? It's like we never thought anyone would come to London and sit and watch us talk drivel. And so that's been a real highlight.
Yeah.
And we went out to, like, well, I say we went out. There was demand for us to go to Dublin. There wasn't.
Pip dragged us along.
There was demand for Scroobius Pip in Dublin. And fair play to him, he kind of like put a deal together. Like, if you get me, you do get my dickhead mates.
and so he sold it like they'd look sort out us. But really, I don't think he wanted to go on his own and be bored.
It was exactly that, wasn't
it? So he's like, they want you. And we're like, wicked. You're on at midnight.
And we got there on the first night, and we got to this theatre, which must have held about 1,000 people, and it was sold out, and obviously it was all Pip fans, and it was like, so I'm going to get you out for like a chat and that. I think he had us out for about 5 minutes, then got rid of us quite quickly.
Yeah, and brought on Blind Boy, who was brilliant.
And then brought out the rubber bandits and had a really in-depth and intelligent conversation with him. Yeah. And you know you're doing something wrong when he's getting rid of us to get a bloke on stage with a carrier bag on his head. That speaks volumes, doesn't it? And he was thinking, fucking hell. And I was like, Pip, mate, are we doing this tomorrow? And he was like, no. And then the next night we went to like this tiny little room, didn't we? And he went, yeah, there's a load of bands on first, and then your show starts at midnight. And so for me and you, we're on holiday. So it was like, what do you do when you're on holiday? You start drinking.
I was worse for wear before we got on stage. I started dancing to Shania Twain.
That's right.
On the walk-on. And then it just went from there, didn't it, basically?
And
good fun, though.
But it was so much fun. You urinated on stage, which was possibly a low point of
your career. For me, I was flying, mate. I thought it was amazing.
Okay.
Another thing, I thought the Wild Swim, I was thinking about that today. Oh, I really enjoyed that Wild Swim little journey with Mangan.
76 is here. Where are you, Stu? It's down there. And there's Brad over there, and I'm sure you hear us talking about them all the time.
Camera gimp.
And can we just have a round of applause for them two, please? Because we get the really easy bit. We just drink a load of lager and talk a load of rubbish, and Stu has to polish that turd and try and
roll it in glitter sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. And so they do the stuff that makes sure that it's in your inbox every Monday morning.
Yeah, so, thanks, so guys.
Thank you very, very much.
And Brad, thanks for the you know, the videos that you put out as well. Yeah. Hopefully we'll film a few more. Which we should quickly mention our sponsors, shall
yes.
we? So
yes.
we've got two sponsors already now. We've been going a year. But Love Beer, who you guys have probably heard on the podcast, some messy episodes. One with Mr. Big Papa J, who's here tonight. He's going to come and have a chat. And Bang Boom Creative, who's our new guy, isn't it? Luke, who can't make it today, but we're going to be making some strange video content. So we're going to be doing top fives, and it's going to be things like top five sound offs, sound clashes in the Pink Toothbrush. So we're going to like go up against each other DJing. And I've got some bangers up my sleeve.
Hey, what's wrong with you?
Yeah, so look forward to that.
And we've been lucky that in the last year, like, some of the people that have listened to it have kind of got on board and said, look, we do this stuff. Are you interested in coming along? And it's given us an opportunity to kind of invite our previous guests along and do some really fun stuff as well. So a few months back, me, you, Pip, and my wife, we went to Reading and we done the zombie apocalypse, didn't we? Which was fucking insane, wasn't it? Like running around a disused shopping centre in Reading, being chased by zombies, shooting them with guns was pretty spectacular,
it was
wasn't it?
Yeah, it was really good.
And then about a month ago now, wasn't it? It was me, you, and most of the guests are here that come along. Yeah. Jordan Gray, Alex, Gal, who else went?
Jess.
And Pip was ill, wasn't he?
Because I think he always acts smart, but he's actually not that intelligent. And I think he didn't want to get found out in a puzzle room. Or he didn't want to be locked in a room with me.
bizarrely, last weekend, we went to Norfolk, and it was my birthday last weekend. So we stayed in a converted barn, and it was me, you, and Pip, and Big Papa Jay, and my dear friends, Antonio.
And a big bowl. And for some keys.
And we went to another locked in a room thing, and you was on Pip's team, wasn't you?
What are the scores? How have we been getting on? Because we haven't teamed up yet, have we? We've always been sort of like on opposing sides.
Yeah.
What have the scores been? Who's come out quicker both times?
So we're gonna bring our guests on stage now. and so we're gonna bring all three of them up. So if you can make some lovely applause and stuff for them. The lovely Gal Porter.
Wherever you want, love. You're first up.
Hang on. Let's get the rest of them up.
I know, but I don't know where to sit. Should I sit here?
Yeah, go on, sit there. That way no one has to scooch.
I love the fact that you can't touch the floor. the lovely Miss Alex Fox. Woo! And Mr. Matt Stocks. So has everyone got their mics? Yeah, we good to go?
Can't reach the mic. Oh, thank you. I still can't reach the mic. Oh, come on now. Oh, really?
How are you? Are you all right?
Really good. A round of applause for these boys as well, I think. Like, a year in, you're building a little empire for yourselves, and we spoke about it when I was on your show, and it's DIY, and it's punk rock, and...
Oh, thank you very much.
All the kind of things to say, good. Fucking amateur.
Words, not mine, Christopher.
I'm saying, it definitely starts at 2, and then it's half 2. Everyone's like, what's going on? Like, it's just welcome to Hardcore Listening.
So, over the last year, Gal, you was one of our first guests.
Yes, thank you very much.
And your top five, where you went in on your top five most memorable interviews, was one of the craziest podcasts I think we've done.
It was quite...
In terms of the event itself or the response or...
Everything.
All right, Matt.
We'd obviously...
No,
I'm just interested.
Oh, so you didn't listen? Is that what you're saying?
I didn't listen, no. I heard your Pit podcast, though, which is fantastic.
Oh, did you?
I did, yeah, two parts.
So that's why we got you on. We got you on because we heard you on Pips, and Pip was like, you've got to get Gow on because she's...
I think I was only booked for about 20 minutes and I was there for about 3.5 hours.
Absolutely. We changed the batteries in the recorder three times, didn't we?
Just couldn't stop.
So you've guested on our live shows as well, yep. Which is ever so kind
you've
of
done,
you.
You've done the triple here, haven't yeah. you, Gow? Congratulations. No, I think you've been here three... Yeah. Have you been here
yeah,
three times?
Oh, yeah.
Your next, well, next time you get
so
a free coffee.
Well, it's such a whirlwind, I just forget.
What was that? Someone, we had a heckler there. You've been on the Houses
Shit,
of Parliament?
Was I? That's even better. Your bedroom wall, I've rocked it. I win. Oh, please.
Shut up.
He just got shut down by his partner. Amazing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mate, are you drunk or are you... Dude, are you drunk?
He looks pretty pissed.
Over here, mate.
I'd have to be.
Wow.
It's like half two.
Fucking hell.
Fight.
We've had a bee and a spider fight, but we haven't had people split up yet on our show. So
yeah,
so after the chat that was just different level off of Gow, it was like, right, how can we get more absolute pure insanity out of our guests? So we invited Alex on, who done top five bizarre sex toys.
And trust me, it could have been a lot longer list than five. I'm at the stage now where my bed actually isn't on the floor anymore. There's so many weird things underneath it. Some of them are my exes.
Ovipositor. That's remained.
The what one? What's it called?
Ovipositor. Is that right, Alex?
The ovipositor is a sex toy that you fill with gelatinous eggs that you've made yourself in a jelly mould, and then it lays them inside you. For all of those of you with alien fantasies, which this lady's obviously got because she's dating you.
Oh, I'm loving this podcast already. It's amazing.
Do they melt or something? Yeah. Do they melt? No.
So, I think...
I didn't think anyone, when I mentioned that to people, that they wouldn't know what an ovipositor was. I've had one person go, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. No, my friends use that, and it's amazing.
Had any of you heard of that before?
No.
Bollocks.
Yeah, whatever.
I can't remember on my top five list, did I tell you about some of the weird ideas that I get from the public about amazing concepts they've got for new sex toys?
No, but let's hear one.
The best / worst idea that I've ever heard for a new sex toy actually arrived in my Facebook inbox not long ago.
Oh God, I'm so pleased you said book after face.
Arrived in my face.
Woo. There's a reason I'm not right there.
No, it was a chap who went, Alex, I need your advice. I've got an idea that is going to change the lives of all women. And he was very, very serious about it. He wanted me to sign a non-disclosure agreement and give him my promise, my word, that I wasn't going to steal his idea and market it for myself because it was so very groundbreaking. I was like, oh, okay, you know, well, let me know what it is. He goes, it's a butt plug that doubles as a menstrual cup. For those... I'll just give you a while to sit with that. For those of you who don't know what a menstrual cup is, it's a little silicone cup that you put inside your foof as a lady instead of a tampon, and it captures your crimson wave like
I
a little goblet.
Didn't even know
that. Yeah. It's very eco-friendly, and then you fertile it out and you empty it out into the sink. I tried one, Gail. I tried one because journalism.
Of course.
And
yeah.
It, not only was it quite difficult to get inside, but once I did have it in place, that thing adhered like Mario and Luigi's plunger to my cervix.
And did you not get spillage?
I was there trying to pull it. I could feel it heaving bits of me downwards. I felt like a sheep giving birth. It was terrifying. It it was like a scene from Carrie by the time I got it out. Or maybe something from a veterinary programme. It was bad. It was bad. Anyway, this chap had decided that for women who might get caught short and they come on their period and they're not anticipating it, they've not got sanitary supplies with them, that they could just permanently wear this thing as a butt plug and then just take it out of their log flume and stick it round the front instead.
The old switch dance.
Yeah.
Don't just go to Boots or anything, no.
There are just so many problems with this. I mean, for a start, you would have to have someone, something permanently jobbed up your pooper that had a cup on the end of it. How are you going to sit down? What happens when you fart? Is it like a trumpet? It's like the horn of Gondor in your ass permanently. And I had to sort of tell him, well, there are hygiene issues here. Taking something out of your behind and putting it in your front bottom is a really bad idea germ-wise. And he went, got an idea for that? Stick it in the dishwasher. Needless to say, I will not be investing in that product. I really should do Dragon's Den, shouldn't I? For weird sex toys. Oh, mind you, maybe I shouldn't, because I do want to sleep at night.
Yes.
It's already hard since my bed is off the floor, as we've established. So.
So
did you
not just get a condensed pipe?
A what?
A condensed pipe.
A condensed pipe. It's not plumbing.
So, I think...
They're still getting divorced.
I think you've had your, like, shout-out tokens now, mate. Everyone else has got a few, but you've used up yours.
So, we've obviously established some ridiculous levels of bonkers on our podcast, which has been amazing. And so there was only ever one place we could take it after that, and that was to get the Dirty Sanchez boys on. And, oh my God, thank you very much, Matt, for orchestrating that, because not only growing up as...
an idiot.
I was going to say idiots. Like, Dirty Sanchez was every lad's greatest show, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You know, just doing the most dumb shit you could possibly do.
Pritchard was like sniffing beer off our bar, wasn't he?
Before the podcast even started, yeah.
And it was just amazing. It wasn't like we had to... Normally for our, you know, we come to London, which we come to chat to Gow and Alex, and we come here a lot. We record a lot of our podcasts in the room next door. But Matt went, yeah, they're going to come around your shed.
He says shed, by the way. The Whiff Inn, where they record the home podcast, is a pub. It's like the ultimate man cave. And I walked in there. There's memorabilia from various boxing fighters on the wall. There's like a full-on bar, games machines. Like, it is the ultimate pub inside a garden. And you undersell it. But what was great is Whiff is your surname, obviously, so you call it the Whiff Inn. But they took a picture of the Pritchard and Dayton Sanchez boys after the podcast. And one guy I saw in your Instagram comments went, so where is the Whiff Inn? I've Googled it in Essex and I can't find this pub. And I'm like, it's because it's in his fucking garden.
Do you know what? It's really weird, because when we first built it, my wife, she set up a thing on Facebook so people could check in there. And as the kind of podcast had sort of come to fruition a little bit, I was thinking, fucking hell. Like, I live in Grays and there's some fucking rough-ass fucking people around there. And I was thinking, do I want people at, like, 2 a.m. going, ah, fucking, we're finna be open, let's go and stroll around now.
Lock in!
And I want people just checking into my back garden. Like. But yeah, you kindly bought Pritchard and Dayton to my back garden. And the response from my friends was like, you honestly got them in your fucking garden? It was like, yes, it was surreal, wasn't it? It was, and do you know what? They, as bananas as they come across when you see them on TV and stuff like that, as I'm sure you'll agree, they're such sweet lads, aren't they?
The loveliest people I've ever met. I just did a tour with them, and at the end of the tour, I got a package when I got home. and it was a big balloon saying thank you and a big, like, wrapped up ribbon box, and inside was a box of chocolates and a bottle of Moët champagne from Pritchard to say thank you for organising the tour. Like, the sweetest guys on earth.
Yeah.
Maniacs, but...
Yeah, don't go on a private jet with Pritchard. And if you haven't listened to that podcast, go and listen to that one with them, because that is... it includes a Dolph Lundgren and urine, I believe.
Oh, I think we can give a little bit of that away, because I'm sure a lot of people here that made the effort to come here have probably listened to the podcast.
Show of hands.
Oh, sorry, guys. Yeah, the drinks. Just crack on. It's that's what it's there for.
You didn't...
This is like the service in the Whiffin. We just expect you to come in and pour.
I love the fact you said, yeah, Gil, come back, because we really owe you a couple of drinks, you know. Just fucking do it yourself. I even bought this.
Is it even cold, Gail?
No, it's not
even cold. Pathetic.
Ooh, can we get a straw for Gail, please?
You owe me a drink anyway, Stu.
We do.
Because you've actually encroached upon my trademark there. I think you'll find that the ultimate man cave is actually what I call my vagina.
Touché.
It is kind of like a pub in a garden.
Okay, so how long have we been going? We're going to take a break in about 40 minutes. So
before we congratulate Matt for bringing on Dirty Sanchez, should we talk about Matt's top five?
Yes.
Because we don't just do bananas ones, do we? We do, like, sometimes go in. And Matt, your one, you prepped to fuck Mickey Rourke, top five Mickey Rourkes, mate. And I would say, I don't know, there's not many people who have had the inside knowledge that he did when he started going into sort of like his top five. So it was a bit of a fascinating one. And we're going to do...
My top five Mickey Rourke films was my,
oh, right,
my choice.
Okay, he's
my
Mickey Rourke's mates. As I
Mickey, yeah. My top five Mickey Rourke Ryan. Mates. I didn't make the cut, unfortunately.
What was your top one?
Top film with The Wrestler. It's the ultimate redemption.
Don't worry about
movie.
Watching that one then, guys.
Oh, we talk about you giving away everyone's number ones when Rich gets up in a bit. So as I said, the concept for today's podcast is going to be stories about your friends. So who wants to start?
I'll take this if you want.
Go for it.
Oh, when I received your email to say the subject of today's talk is going to be this, I air punched. Like 80s montage movie moment. It's like when you're at school and you find out from your teacher, like, he's got the inside tip, the exam is going to be on this, and then you open the paper and sure enough it is, and you're like, yes, I've got this. When you said that's the subject, I was like, this could not be more perfect, because all my friends are lunatics. I'm going to start off, I don't know how much time we have, I'm going to steal a Sanchez story.
Go for it.
And start with that, because you obviously got to speak to them and you heard firsthand some of the stuff. Having done this tour every night, all the stories were completely different, and the insanity levels just increased as the tour went on. And someone from the crowd one night said to them both, Pritchard and Dayton, what's your favourite Dan Joyce moment or story? And they're like, ah, okay. So we're in Hamburg, and they're on tour on the road, and in Hamburg is a whorehouse called the Reeperbahn, four floors of whores. And Pritchard is like...
Tell me that's on the sign.
I presume so. I've never been to Hamburg or the Reeperbahn, but Pritchard was like, you know, all the boys were in relationships. I was single, so I thought, I'm going to go get a prostitute. Shameless. And he's like, sorry, everyone. I'm going in. And he said he went up to the Reeperbahn with the intention of sleeping with the lady of the night. And as he was about to go in the door and bid farewell to his Sanchez compatriots, Joycey goes, can I come in too, Pritch, and just pay to watch? And he's like... What the fuck? I'm interested in your style. I've always been interested in your style. Can I come and pay to watch? So he's like, fuck it, why not? So he asked the lady at reception, they had a receptionist at this place, and he said, I want to pay for an hour with the lady and my friend wants to pay to watch. And obviously they said yes, because they double their money and they don't have to do anything extra. So they're in the room. Joycey sat at a chair at the end of the bed, like this. Pritchard's there with this lady in bed and he just can't get a hard on because his weird mate is looking at him. And he's like, fucking hell, Joycey. And after about half an hour of trying to get it up, he eventually gets some activity going on downstairs. He's like, right, it's on. And at that moment, Joycey goes, sorry, Pritch, I just need the toilet, mate. He's like, fuck's sake. But in that moment, he saw a window and he went, right, whilst he's in the window, I'm going to get it done. So he's going hell-bent for leather, trying to deliver the goods and get out of there before Joycey comes back from the bathroom. As he's about to reach the moment of climax, Joycey swings open the door of the toilet, appears with the loo brush from the prostitute's bathroom, and he goes, "Pritch, mate!" And he just starts brushing his teeth whilst wanking with a fucking loo brush. "Pritchard!" And at that point, the girl goes, "You two need to get the fuck out of here right now," in German, obviously. And they got kicked out, and that was the end of that.
That definitely wasn't you, no.
It definitely wasn't. As I said, I've never even been to Hamburg.
Really well.
I've
never been to Hamburg. No, I was talking about the toilet brush. He's more concerned about not being in Hamburg. No, never been to Germany. No.
And I don't have a toilet or a brush. No, definitely not me. It's our mate's stories, isn't it? It's not ours.
So, Gal, living in Soho in the 90s.
I thought you were going to say Cloud Cuckoo Land.
Living in Hamburg in the 90s.
Hamburg.
Living in Soho in the 90s.
Yeah.
You must have met some bonkers people.
Which, you know, I was trying to think of, like, which is the most bonkers, because we were talking about it earlier, and I think I was the one that was always coming up with really insane ideas, going, "Hey, it's a really brilliant idea that we'll all, you know, get dressed up and go and we'll just, yeah, do things like hang out and with toilet brushes and things like that." But I can't think of anything really bonkers that my friends have done, other than A, have sex with me, which is never a good idea when your friends go, "It's a brilliant idea, we're all really drunk, we'll all just have sex," and then you wake up in the morning going, "Oh my God."
Have you two ever done that?
No, I mean...
Well, we never regret it, Matt. There's never an uncomfortable moment. It's just a warm embrace.
That was all right,
and
wasn't
then,
it?
And then I'll turn around and give Carol a little cuddle as well. She's cool about it.
And I remember a friend saying to me once as well, "Getting married is a great thing. I'm fucking skint. It costs a fortune." So that was never a good idea. So, no, I can't think of anything. I'm going to have to wait and think about it. I think somewhere I'm a wee bit too dirty. Oh, God, I'm saying that sitting beside you two. Oh, you four. So, I don't know. I'll come back to me.
I kind of had a similar problem to Gail in a way, because...
I called you the other night.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know, we're filthy.
I was like... I was trying to think, what did we actually say? Well, I was trying to think of stupid things that my mates have done. And the last stupid thing I could remember was something I'd done.
Change the name. Alex the boy, no, my guy friend
I'm
Alex.
I'm going to completely own this one because I wouldn't want to blame it on anyone else. I was at an event where there were a lot of Muslim women present, and some of them were wearing headscarves. And I was chatting to one of the ladies who had a full niqab on, where you can just see her eyes. And we were having a lovely natter. She had a young daughter with her, and she was explaining to me how she was quite knackered because she'd just been to see a play that her daughter had put on at school, and then she had to go and see her cousins, and she kind of wanted to bail because she was tired, but her daughter really wanted to see the cousins, and then she had some other social engagement that she had to go and do with family, and she was like, "Oh, I really can't be arsed, Al, I can't be bothered, but I'm going to go because it's the thing I've got to do." And without thinking, I went, "Yeah, just pop in, show your face." And you know when you can feel the blush rising, and I just talk through it, and oh man, I was so embarrassed.
I did have one almost similar to that. See, I knew that if I spoke to you, so my
here we go.
We started a glass of wine, right? Okay. Mm. So anyway, my uncle is deaf, right? And so I used to say to the kids at school, if you come to my house, give me 50p. You could swear at my uncle, but just don't, like...
Wow.
Cover your mouth, right? And he'll go like that. And you're like, "Fuck off." So anyway, one of my really, really stupid mates came over and he's like, "Seriously, you can swear at your uncle?" And I was like, "50p, you can swear at my uncle." And he's like, "Fucking hell, this is brilliant." And so my uncle David opens the door and he's like, "Hey, Gail, everything okay?" And I'm like, "Yeah." My mate goes...
He's not blind.
And I was like, "He's not blind, you dickhead."
That is fucking amazing.
No, that's up there. Brilliant.
So I'm going to ask you, Alex, as well, because we touched on it throughout the podcast.
You've got to be really careful saying things like "we touched on it."
I think you just got to be really careful today, full stop, really.
But we did speak throughout the podcast.
Why have you got a picture of a cock?
Right, this is the show notes, right?
I made some
notes, left them on the chair, come back.
Is it to scale?
Chris?
Has that honestly scale? Wasn't me for once. If I'd have seen it, but there was already a dick on there.
Bradley. So, so we, as I said, we discussed throughout your episode, because you worked at Bazaar magazine.
I did, for six and a half years.
So you must have met some fucking off-the-scale interesting people doing that job.
Oh, I think I was naked in that. Sorry, no, just randomly bring that in.
You were one of the highlights. Yeah.
So do you want to explain Bazaar to anyone that might not know what Bazaar magazine is?
Yeah, Bazaar was a glossy mag, which was useful because you needed it to be wiped clean for a variety of reasons. It was, I guess in a way, it was a lads mag, although it had a really high female readership. It was about 40% female readers. And the clue is in the title, really. Bazaar was everything weird, wild and wonderful. It was all about alternative culture. And it was going for about 13 years when it started.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The internet was only like, it was a baby thing, you know. You couldn't Google the weird shit that you can now. Bazaar magazine, for want of a better phrase, filled that hole. And I was really young when I was brought on board. I think I was about 23, and it was an eye opener. It opened many holes for me, in fact. So it was my job to report on things like unusual kinks and fetishes and people who were doing way out body modifications, way beyond your usual piercing and tattoos, people who were putting on left field crazy art, doing weird experimental music. We looked into historical strange things. It was everything that was compelling and fascinating that is unusual about the world. I usually talk about sex these days because I've kind of segued more into sex education as I've got older. But back in the day, I used to speak to a lot of people who were really at the X-Files end of experimenting with their bodies for decorative purposes and for creating their own aesthetics. So I still do have a lot of friends who've got implants that make them look like they've got horns, or there's one guy I know who's experimenting with a buzzing implant in his cock that's actually implanted inside his willy that he switches on and off with a magnet and charges wirelessly. So there we go.
Potential third sponsor for the show, boys.
As long as we get a few for free, Matt, I'm totally cool with that.
But I did have a few mates who had combined body modification with kind of circus skills to put on shows. And one of these guys, Andrew, who was famous for pioneering, he'd take people out into the desert in the States and draw on them using, he had these glass balls, glass globes, and he'd concentrate the power of the sun onto people's skin,
like,
and then burn
them.
Yeah, he would brand them using the power of the sun. That's how I got to know him. But he revealed to me that you know, flesh tunnels, people have stretched earlobes that you can see through. He had taken that concept and applied it to the middle of his scrotum and stretched a hole in his scrotum so large that his party trick on greeting new people was to stick his own hand through his ballsack and then shake that way. So yeah.
Did he have his pants down
holy
already?
Shit then, yeah, but yeah. Like,
oh so he had to pull his trousers down to greet people, basically.
He was the kind of guy that didn't often wear trousers.
we need this guy on, I think, Stu.
Your face is like that. We just thought this was going to be a light-hearted Saturday afternoon, chilling out.
S&M session.
Nice to meet you. It got worse than that. I think the most extreme group of people that I met were Russian. I found that a lot of my Russian interviewees had a completely hedonistic disregard for their own safety and their own lives. Unfortunately, I think for a lot of them, that stemmed from the fact that especially a decade ago or so, a lot of these young Russian guys and girls just felt a bit bleak about life. They didn't feel like there was a lot for them in Russia. Their outlook didn't look particularly hopeful. So they would do anything for kicks. It was all about instantaneous thrills. And some of them were practicing a practice called suspension, where they were putting hooks through the meat of their backs and then being lifted up on these hooks. But they'd taken it a step further, and they were attaching the hooks to parachutes and base jumping from bridges with their parachutes actually attached through their backs.
They must have been fucking
that's
bored.
That's like the most...
Fucking hell.
That's not a Witherspoons in Russia.
Not a lot on Netflix tonight, shall we?
Is it Netflix or are we going to hang... Yeah, shit.
That's the most high-risk sport, isn't it? Like base jumping. There's like something like 1-5% die, so... Then hooking yourself to parachutes through flesh hooks is just, you've got nothing to live for, have you, man? You must be going crazy doing that. What's that, 20-25%, I reckon, death rate?
I know one of them did have a really bad accident. Amazingly, he did live through it, but he broke practically everything in his body. It was bad. But these are people that I was interviewing. These weren't things that I was actually doing, although when I was at Bizarre Mag, I did try some stuff. I quite like to be fairly experiential about it. I used to have a tattoo that lit up under UV, so I had experimental ink injected into me. I tried underwater bondage, where I was dressed as a mermaid in a lead-weighted suit, taken to the bottom of a swimming pool with a scuba diver, and rather than having my own tank, there was someone else giving me oxygen. And then a specialist in shibari, or the Japanese art of rope bondage, tied me up underneath the water and then took my air away as kind of like the ultimate in submission.
Hands
told my
up,
about
anyone,
that on
anyone done
afterwards.
That?
But after a while, I did, although I didn't feel that what I was doing was outside of my boundaries or anywhere near as extreme as the
just
people
your
that I was. Yeah, standard.
Alex, when you phone your parents at the weekend and ask how your week went, how's that kind of conversation pan out?
I used to tell my mum these things after they'd happened, so she didn't fret. But it did reach a stage where, although I think, especially now I'm a little bit older as a journalist, I've really learned what I'm comfortable saying yes to and no to. I did do a few things that retrospectively I perhaps put too much of myself on the line. But I did get a bit of a reputation for being more daring than some of the writers, I guess. And after a while, TV crews started sniffing around and thinking, well, this will make good TV. Things like Dirty Sanchez and Jackass are selling really well. There aren't women doing that. Let's get a woman doing that. And that led to some really odd requests for things for me to do. There was one production company who proposed a series where I would eat increasing amounts of the human body, starting off with like harvesting
other
people's...
That's called murder in Scotland. That's murder. that's cannibalism stroke murder. Yeah, you get arrested for that shit.
It did get really... I still have the email. It was so strange.
You didn't eat it, no?
Well, they were like episode one, Alex looks into the fetishistic... There was kind of a kinky eBay at the time where people would sell bodily fluids or toenail clippings or bits of their hair and pubes in a bag.
That's
and
what happened to me, wasn't it? I was going through a really bad time. I was like, oh, fuck it, just be the whole lot on eBay. I've not really got alopecia. It's all a joke.
Yet again, another sponsor for the show, guys, as well. But, the first episode was going to be me buying some bits of someone off the internet and eating them. Then it was going to be talking to women who eat their own placentas after giving birth. And then you could tell that the production team were really into this, but they were getting a bit thin on the ground of things it was legal for me to be allowed to eat. And so their proposal for episode 3 was something called cock calamari, where they thought that they could...
How did you even know that? Why are you nodding?
I was going to suggest this.
Nodding?
I've got this.
Cock calamari, again.
Their proposal was...
Chris Glasson Productions.
Craig Gleason.
Oh, that's a starter.
Their proposal was that we would approach men who were due to have a circumcision, collect their foreskins and deep fry them like squid rings. Needless to say, I decided not to take part in that particular project.
Would you?
Would you eat
if
another
man's
deep
fried? Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I know you would. I've seen you eat all sorts of weird shit, so you'd be down for it, I reckon.
I think I would.
I'd do that. I reckon I'd go for that, yeah. One.
It's kind of like a combo between a pork scratching and a scampi fry.
Two of my favourite things. Yeah. So, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
How about mine? Would you, if I had a circumcision, would you have my cock calamari?
So say, you know when you said that neither of you have fallen out before, is this going to be one of those nights?
Could there be a better way of bonding?
I've eaten a bit of you, yeah.
Yeah, you had me a foreskin.
Oh my gosh.
Do you know what? I'll just give it a go.
It's just a bit of skin,
someone's
right?
Just passed out.
I imagine it might be quite chewy. But on a related note, though, we used to often get people calling up Bizarre Magazine who were desperate to be in the mag. And again, they'd seen things like Dirty Sanchez and Jackass, and they'd got ideas of things they thought were going to make them famous. And there was one lad who once phoned me up and went, Alex, I can't wait to meet you. I've bought a one-way ticket to London. I'm coming to Bizarre offices. I've devised this great thing that I'm going to do. Oh, my God, you're going to have to do a whole article about it. You're going to have to put me on the front cover. Yes, boom. Boom, got it. I was like, okay, matey, what is it you've got in mind? He went, well, I'm going to chop my foreskin off with nail scissors. I mean, it starts well, doesn't it? I'm going to put it in a condom, tie it up, swallow it, shit it out, and then sew it back on again. And
why?
I had to explain to him why this wasn't going to work on a number of levels. And he was really disappointed. And then we ended the conversation with me giving him some advice on how he could phone National Rail and get a refund on his one-way ticket to London.
Holy shit.
I did a week-long spoken word tour with Dirty Sanchez, and this is the most fucked up shit I've ever heard.
This is going really...
It's going dark, isn't it, people? What's funny as well, no one in this room knows this. I was at the back waiting for the call to come on stage. Everyone was sat down, the show was happening. I went for a wee, and there's a hen party in the bar. The only people in the bar is like 8 girls going buck wild. So if some of you heard some like, woo, that's what's happening out there.
And, I thought it was another murder.
It's,
I was like...
it's kind of... It's lightness and darkness, I feel like, at the moment.
I wonder what the screaming was. I was thinking they're just going, ordered a big bowl of cock calamari.
The adoring fans outside, the ones that couldn't get in. Like, yes, a hen pie.
Okay, so aside from the Sanchez boys, where did you grow up, Matt?
In Birmingham.
Okay, so we've had some, we are listed tonight with Scroob in Birmingham. And
Hare and Hounds.
And some
Kings people, Heath, beautiful place.
And people like to party there.
Were you born in Kings Heath?
I was, yeah. And then
right on, Midlands crew.
I can't do a fist bump with the rings I'm wearing without inflicting injury upon you, so I have to do a weird, like, alien thing. If you do the fist, then I'll...
There we go.
Yeah, there we go.
No one even asks me.
They know what you've done with your fists.
Not with this sort. Well, yeah, maybe.
That's, so growing up in Brum,
yes.
You know, you must have some stories from school and stuff like that.
From growing up in Birmingham? I mean, the school stories are endless. We used to skive a lot. We used to break out at... So we'd go to morning registration. Yes, sir, here. Then break time, we'd break out of school. We took the break to its logical conclusion. And we'd go around my friend Greg's house and drink a litre of Bacardi rum from his parents' spirit cabinet. And then break back into school for lunchtime, ready for afternoon registration. So we'd be like, yeah, we're back in. And one of my favourite memories ever is, obviously, when you're at school, there's all like the year divides. And it's like, oh, they're year 10, we're year 11. And I remember one day, there's all like the thug, kind of chavvy, wannabe gangster kids in the year above us were like smoking weed by the side of the school fence. And me and three friends just staggered over the top of it, like smash landed on the floor, got back up. It's like 1 PM, obviously it's lunchtime. We're just like, wee-hee! And they just looked at us like, you boys are fucking crazy. It was fun. Like, it was, there was a great music scene. There was a great, like, community vibe in Digbeth around the Custard Factory.
Bloody loved the Custard Factory.
It was a beautiful place.
You studied in Birmingham, didn't you?
Yeah,
of course,
so
you're in uni there.
I did.
Yeah.
You?
Every Friday night, Custard Factory.
It was an amazing
time. Can I use
time.
That one as the name brains. From a vagina as well, please?
You can claim that,
like,
that one. That's a good
like
one.
Is it like pop-up shops now, isn't it, in the Custard Factory?
I don't know. Yeah,
yeah, it's like
it's
an art
there.
Space now, and there's cafes
yeah, yeah.
and retro thrift stores.
The gadget show in
Birmingham. Oh, okay. Right, right.
Yeah, we had, what was it, the medicine bar? And
yeah.
On my 21st, they drained out the big pond there.
The pool.
Yeah, yeah. And then James Lavelle played in there. And, yeah, God, I love Birmingham.
We used
Birmingham.
To go raving
so
at the Bull
fun.
Ring, but I'm much older
yeah,
than you.
Yeah, 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 yeah. And
how old
Q,
are you?
Did you do Q Club? Did you ever go there?
I don't remember.
I saw Weezer in the Q Club
Mate.
In 1999. Good times. That was it, really.
Yeah, that went down well, didn't it? Yeah.
We were
so no Weezer
good
fans.
Good old
here,
Weezer.
No, do you know what? We was talking about Weezer the other night, and when we was doing, because I think it was Russell Block Party when he done his top five. He chose his top five guitarists, and he chose Rivers from Weezer.
Yeah,
and that come back up in conversation
yeah,
with
we was did it with music Billy? Collaborations, didn't we?
Yeah, and Weezer's fans. About 2 years ago, set up an online campaign, their fans, to stop Weezer making another record.
Yeah, that's their thing, is they're one of those bands that everyone reveres the first two albums and holds them in such adoring glory. And then after then, there's been a couple of albums that I love, but for the large part, they just write novelty, amazing singles.
Yeah.
Hashpipe, Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
But as far as albums go, people are like... But yeah, they did. They did a full-on Kickstarter campaign yeah. to block the release of
any other
album ever.
I mean, that's got to hurt. I mean, if you don't mind cutting us in 50%, if you want to start up a Kickstarter thing to stop us from doing this, we'll take 50% of anything that
the
comes
the second
in.
Year anniversary.
Yeah. Shoot, there's probably a Kickstarter on that foreskin thing already.
Oh, dear. Okay.
How are we doing for time?
I've got another.
I
good,
thought you said you were going to the toilet. I was like, oh my God, I've been boring you. Sorry about that. Well, you do it on the stage usually, don't you?
Sometimes, yeah. If there's a bottle.
I honestly thought you was joking when we was in Dublin.
Yeah.
And
you actually did do it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was a pee though.
Because it was a long walk.
It was, wasn't it?
It was a number one.
It was a wee. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a number one,
thank
not
God
number two.
It just made no sense. I remember like Pip just going.
Really? Not using a toilet? It makes no sense to you.
Well, that's my story about my mate, actually, that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, go on, Stu.
I'm only going to just be horrible to you, so go on, carry on.
Oh, yeah. So I've asked his permission, but I can't use his real name, he said. So we're going to go with John Flowers.
Okay.
And basically, he's a good friend. He went to a house party in London, and it got to the point in a house party where it had died, and the people left at that house party hadn't realised that the party was over yet. And he was like, I'm just going to get the fuck out of here. So he walks outside, doesn't really know where he is, and he's just like, okay, he looks at the front door, he's got the door number, he says, I'm just going to call a cab. Can't get any reception. And he thinks, I'm not going to go back in there. So he's in some random estate in London. Off he goes, walking into this estate, he says, I'll find a main road soon. And he doesn't. And he can't get any reception. He can't phone a cab. And that's when he gets a little rumble in his stomach. He needs to, you know, go to the toilet. And he starts panicking. He gets a bit of a sweat on because the further he goes, the more he's lost in this neighbourhood. He's got no idea where he is. And he's like, I've got to take a shit somewhere. And basically, he finds a doorway, an archway. And I'm thinking, is that someone's house? And as he was telling me, I was thinking, this
How
is disgraceful. Well, he's got a bit of a history with leaving it late with pooing.
Yeah, I know, but like, maybe find like somewhere a little bit more secluded.
Well,
that
you know,
fella's
like,
front
go
door.
Behind, like a tree, well, or yeah.
Yeah,
supposedly. Why would you go, there's a front door, I'm going to shit on that.
Yeah.
You just say, like, you'd go somewhere quiet.
Yeah. Or maybe just find a toilet.
Yeah, well, wait,
they have
tried.
CCTV and everything, so it's like...
He was like 20 minutes searching, 30 minutes, which still for me is like, can't you hold it a bit longer? We can
I really
hold want, that,
I'm
right?
I'm trying to imagine how he was walking.
Do you know what, right?
Like a penguin.
I nearly said his name then. My mate, whenever he used to get in that situation, he used to go, I've just got to go for a heel strike. And I was like, what? And it was this, I'm probably going to do myself a a mischief here. But if he was at that point where
you're
just
not going shit, are you?
Oh my god! I really need a poo. My mate Jill would do this thing where.
Oh god.
And sit on his heel. Just to keep it where it is.
Oh, no. Right, just to firm it up.
Like a plug. Oh no.
You know what he needed?
Yeah, you.
Heel strike. Sorry, Chris.
Oh, good grief.
So basically, he finds his sight. Supposedly, there's a fence, but I still think he found someone's fucking doorstep, but he's never admitted to that bit. And anyway, so I will demonstrate what he did. He was absolutely busting. So he's gone. Oh, I should mention that John's got quite an extravagant dress sense, and respect to him, because you know, no matter how much you take the piss out of each other, John.
What's going to happen as well?
Stu, you need to edit that out.
Oh, Tom.
There's 100 people in here we need to, like, mind erase on the way out.
Go on, sorry.
John, you, Matt, went, yeah.
Sorry, Tom was...
Tom, might as well now. We'll just edit over. He was wearing white jeans.
Oh,
right. Alex has arrived. And basically, he squatted over a little like this.
What's it with you two in?
So anyone that's listening to this, let me put this out. Standard kind of, if you're going to take a poo outside, that will be your standard stance.
I tell you
stance,
what, you make a fatal...
Not anymore. Yeah, I'm all about the hill strike now. Forget keeping it in. That's my new going out method.
Telling you, mate.
It will not be your... If you've ever done it, you'll learn quite quickly.
I haven't.
As Tom John did... He thought he'd done his business. He said it wasn't solid, and then he realised that all he'd done.
Sorry, loose stools.
Loose stools. Loose stools, my friend. He'd just squatted down, pulled his trousers down, and then just squatted down and shat straight into the back of his chair. And he said the realisation of that, like, he said that's the low point. You know, he was just like, what have I done here? I have no idea where I am in London. And my white jeans are now just full to the brim of loose stools. Doesn't end there.
What did he do?
he started, like, walking back down the high street, well, wherever he was. He said he finally got a cab. And he said, like, he had, like, some flyers on him.
How did he get a cab?
I don't know how he got hold of the cab, but he finally found
it's
a cab.
New fashion, so...
Yeah. He's probably like just throwing thing. Stuff at the... And, yeah, he laid some flyers down or whatever it was, a newspaper he'd found in the cab and sat there, and he said the smell was just off the scale. And the cab driver was just giving him daggers all the way back. And he said he couldn't go back to his own house because he was just too ashamed. So by that point, he got out the door, threw 60 quid at him and just was like, he was gone. Back out of hell.
Hang on, you said he didn't go back to his house. Whose house did he go to?
Well, no, he just went round the corner.
Excuse me.
So I think... Before we go, we've got a little 15-minute break in a minute. So.
Can I tell a really quick poo story off the back
no.
of
it?
I'm going to get one in quickly.
You're going as well.
So we'll get
just
two.
Before the loo break.
We got 10 minutes, right? 10 minutes for the break. So we do five each. Yeah.
Because I realised when you asked me, what was it like growing up in Birmingham? You must have some stories. That was my moment to tell the story. It was the whole point of why we're here. Where I was like, yeah, Weezer were good, weren't they?
Yeah. I mean, weren't your greatest point?
Yeah.
Well, you're first.
Okay, so my friend Nick Hogman.
He's cool about this story then.
I hope so. he struggled with his arsehole his whole life. and growing up, he used to, when he lived at home with his parents, he used to sort of live not too far from myself. And before he used to go to bed at night, he would smoke a joint. But we'll want to smoke it at the window, the little sort of one that opened up above your main window. But what he would do to sort of ensure that the smoke didn't go in the house and his mum would find out, he would get up on the windowsill. So imagine he's like this on the windowsill, smoking his doobie out the window, wearing just his boxer shorts. And just his boxer shorts. And he'd relaxed as he was, you know, partaking in the herb, and farted, and thought, oh, And then kind of gingerly got down, sort of pulling his boxers around his legs because he thought something had come out. Got to the toilets, obviously done the kind of the penguin to the toilets. Had a little shake out in the toilets.
Was it a gerbil?
Nothing there. Oh. Nothing there. Thought, sweet. Like, dodged a bullet there. Walked straight back into his room, wearing just his pants, walked straight for his own ship.
Oh, Nick.
Yeah. Oh, Nick. Matthew.
Your poo story.
I'll go quick, because I need to poo for the interval, I don't. So,
He'll strike.
Hans Zimmer's guitarist, I think he's called Michael Enzinger or something like that. He's like a wizard guitarist, and he was doing a workshop in Birmingham for people who were super talented on guitar and wanted to get one-on-one tuition with a legend. And the fee was like $2,000 or something massive. And my friend from school, Hontus was his nickname. We'll keep that as the name because he's a teacher now, so we can't reveal true identity. He is a genius. He's the best guitar player I've ever seen play, including actual bands that I've seen. Like, he's a fucking savant. as a guitar player, yeah. But he's like a kind of Yngwie Malmsteen technical kind of classical maniac. Anyway, his parents go, we're going to pay for you to go on this course of Hans Zimmer's guitar player. $2,000, you're in. And it's at a hotel. The lessons are in a conference room, and you get a room for the weekend, and he arrives on the Friday, and he's excited. The lessons start the next day, and he gets mind-bogglingly wasted at the hotel bar on the Friday night because he's excited, and he's like, I'm going to meet this dude. It's going to be awesome. He's a weird guy, and he gets up to weird stuff, and when he drinks, the weird side of his character comes out, and he's in his hotel room, and he's horny, and he's having a wank, as all guitar players at guitar conventions get, I guess, is horny. And he decides, you might appreciate this as someone with your bizarre experience, he decides to put a shower hose up his asshole whilst wanking to heighten the orgasmic pleasures. And
just the water?
No, the head. The whole fucking head, like, whoop.
Was there a beanie?
No, there wasn't a B-day. Right. He's probably in like a Premier Inn or something.
Well, I think you're missing the point.
It's Michael Enzinger. It's maybe like a Radisson, but it's right. We're talking a shower head, like the size of a fist. And he gets it up there, and he's in the bath wanking with a shower head up his ass.
Was it on?
No, he didn't turn it on. Right. He didn't want the water jet. He just wanted basically the world's biggest butt plug. So it's up there, and he's like, oh, this is fucking awesome. And then he goes to pull it out. And obviously, as he pulls it out, he gives himself an enema, and shit just comes flying out of his ass everywhere.
Some people pay loads of money for that.
Right? Yeah. Well, he did. His parents paid $2,000. This wasn't actually part of the service, but he went rogue. And he's so fucked up, and the bath's full of shit, and he's like, oh, my God. So he's trying to wash it down with water.
What, with the shower hose?
No, with just the taps from the bath.
All right.
And so the bath ends up half full of shitty water, and he can't. And
half empty.
And he goes, fuck this. I'm going to go to bed. I'm going to get some sleep, and I'll deal with that shit in the morning. He passes out. He forgets all about what went down in the bathroom, and he wakes up 10 minutes after his tuition with Hans Zimmer's guitarist was due to start. So he's like, fuck. So he's just straight out the door and down, picks his guitar up into the lesson, and he's in the zone, like half an hour in, he's like locked in with this guy shredding away. His hangover's gone, and he's like, this is fucking amazing. Thanks, Mum and Dad. This is the greatest experience of my life. At that moment, the hotel manager interrupts the lesson and goes, excuse me, sir, I need to speak to you outside. And he's like, what the fuck? So he goes, no memory. And they go,
his bum was hurting. You would think, no?
You would think, but he's a loose motherfucker.
Clearly.
And no. And so the hotel manager goes, his name, I won't say because he's a teacher now, we're going to have to ask you to go to your hotel room, pack your bags and leave.
With your shit.
It's over.
Take all your shit
And he's like, what? What have I done? And she goes, let's just say this. Our head cleaners spent the last hour in your hotel room trying to clean up the total devastation that you caused in the bathtub last night. And at that moment, all the memories come flooding, and he goes, oh my God. and he has to pack up and leave, and his lesson's over, and hands him his guitar player. He's like, where did he go? Not only that, obviously he leaves and his dream's over, but his parents have paid $2,000 for him to be in this hotel for the weekend getting this guitar lesson. So he has to just call up our mate and go, can I come and crash at yours for 2 days because I got thrown out of my hotel. He's like, but you had that Hans Zimmer thing this weekend. That was a pretty pricey stay. And he goes, yeah, dude, this is what happens. And that was the story.
Please tell me Epic you wrote a wank. Song about it.
Yeah, it was an instrumental, and it just...
and if his mate hits the brown note.
I
would love you to stay. Sorry, what did you do? Oh, yeah, I just shoved a chair ahead up my arse, shit everywhere, but can I stay at yours?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, please come.
Come over.
Yeah.
Where's the bathroom?
We take care of our folks.
His mate's like, nah, mate, I've already had someone shit on my front door this week.
Let's hear a round of applause for poo stories.
Well, look, it's half past.
Yeah.
So,
oh, Gail had one story. Gail,
no,
had
I don't.
Story.
I don't
have you got a story?
No, I haven't got a poo story. I was going to tell you a story about Jesus, but that. Can
be... Should we have a Jesus story?
I have got one, but that, no, that'll wait. No, no, no. Honestly, because we've just been talking. Oh, yeah. No, I can wait.
Jesus story.
Yeah.
No, but it's not funny because you've told all my dirty stuff, and this is not really dirty. This is like.
But maybe the people need something to brighten up the day.
We need a palate cleanser.
Would you like me to cleanse you a little bit? Okay. Right. Oh God, that sounds even bad. Every time, everything I say sounds filthy thing next to you two. But and I don't mean it to be. But yeah, no, when I was at school, I used to get called Snobby Porter. That was my nickname because I was one of those kids. Put your hands up if you're one of those kids. Like that. You were. See, you've done it before you even finished the question. That's what I used to do. Yeah, we were like that, yeah. So they go, does anyone know? And they go, Snobby Porter, you little shit. And I was like, oh, God, okay. And then, so anyway, I wasn't allowed to swear because my mum told me that Jesus is a... Please don't judge me, okay? At least I'm not shitting on doorsteps and I'm not shitting in... But my mum told me that Jesus had a hotline to her house. Don't laugh at me, don't judge me. So what used to happen is Marissa McGregor, who always beat me in that fucking game, and I can swear now because Jesus is offline. But anyway, did you ever play that game when you have to do the syllables of your name? Right, so Marissa McGregor always fucking won. Marissa McGregor, me, Gail. Fucked, you've not won. So anyway, Marissa McGregor used to take all my my pencils, my pens and everything off my desk because she wanted me to get into trouble because I was Snobby Porter and I got everything right. And then she said one day she took everything off my desk, she took my notepads, my books, everything, and she went, if you don't swear then you're not getting anything back. And I said, but I can't swear because Jesus is going to phone my mum. You know, the usual shit that goes on at school. And so she's like, well, you're not getting anything back unless you swear. If you say the F word, I was 18 at the time. No, I'm joking. I was about 9 or 10. And then she said, if you say the F word, I will give you back all your stuff and you won't get into trouble by Mrs. Nisbet, because Mrs. Nisbet had a belt, because we got belted at school. Oh my God, this is therapy, isn't it? You lot are shitting everywhere, I'm getting belted. Oh my God, it sounds like we're in your magazine. It could be quite fun now of a certain age. But anyway, so eventually Marissa McGregor just said, just say fuck and you'll get everything back. And so I did, I said fuck, and then I got everything back and I got home. Crossed the road. I actually didn't wait for the green man because I was so stressed. I was like, oh my God. And I wonder why I'm bald now. I've just been stressed for fuck. I was like, Jesus is after me. Fucking my mum's after me. The green man's not even waiting for me. So then, yeah, I got home and my mum went, I heard what you did. And I was like, well, how did Jesus phone you? I've just got home. And she went, no, Mrs. Nisbet said you crossed before the green man came. And I went, and Jesus phoned Mrs. And she went, no, what are you talking about? And I was like, the phone link you've got with Jesus. And she's like, oh my God, I told you that when you were about 4. And I was like, so it's not true. And she was like, oh God, bless you, Gail. And I went, is he on the phone as well? Motherfucker, they're all fucking phoning. I'm never going out. So then, yeah. And I'm single.
Right, we're, it's half past. So we've got 15 minutes. That bar's open. If you do go out to the other bar, give it 10 minutes and try and get back because we want a sound time because we've got... before we do anything, big thanks to Gail Porter, Alex Fox and Matt Stocks. And so we'll see you in 15. Thank you.
Oh, hey guys, this is 76. Welcome to the end of the live show part one. I hope you enjoyed Alex Fox, Gal Porter and Matt Stocks, three cracking guests. I also hope that my exceptionally written and performed spoken word piece at the beginning didn't detract from the live show, even though you were probably absolutely mind blown for the first 4, 5, 6, 7 minutes. Maybe even 14 or 15 minutes, I don't know. Either way, it was a great show. I remember sitting there in the front row, enjoying it all, laughing at the jokes, etc., etc. Part two is coming up, where we have two more guests, the super Rich Wilson and the exceptionally funny Big Papa Jay. But until part two, let me shout out the Distraction Pieces Network, Scroobius, Pip, Stu, Chris, Susie Gage, Jim Smallman, Jason Tron Reed, and new addition Brett Goldstein. Some super podcasts there, so go and check them out. But until then, look after yourselves and look out for part two, Where My Dog's At.
It's a drunken soiree in the Within. Chris and Stu present Hardcore Listing, the podcast.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.